Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Where to begin? We have a new study out, large study, smoking marijuana, the kind they sell today, the strong variety. Smoking marijuana daily increases risk of psychosis by nearly five times. That's not a 5% increase. That's not doubling. That's a five times higher likelihood of developing psychosis. And if you've looked at young people in the general population lately, you do not want your kids, grandkids, to have a five times greater chance of becoming a nut because of smoking pot. So we want to get to that story. Then there is a woman in England who publicly disagrees with transgenders and says that you cannot change your gender. You can't change your sex. And so when there's a guy who's pretending to be a woman, she refers to him as a guy and uses the he pronoun. So she's facing jail time. The police want to question her after she used the wrong pronoun on Twitter to describe a transgender man who's pretending to be a woman. So that's pretty serious. This 44-year-old gal, she is told that the interview is voluntary, but she's saying if she doesn't submit to the interview, she could be arrested. So that makes as much sense as the rest of the story. Then we have the U.S. Wow, this is exciting. All scientists work for Walt Brown. The U.S. sent a spacecraft, OSIRIS-REx, to rendezvous with an asteroid. The asteroid's name is Bennu. It's supposed to be billions of years old. It's relatively small, a couple football fields, a few football fields in diameter. And everything about this asteroid is freaking out NASA. It's the opposite of what they expected. And it's everything that a hydroplate theory student does expect of asteroids. And for such a tiny body in space, it's outgassing. Now, if it's 4 billion years old, this little, it should be inert. It should be dead, cold and dead. It shouldn't still have anything left to spew out. And so we want to get to that story. And then this leftover debris from the Michael Jackson documentary that's aired, Leaving Neverland. His estate, the physical estate, Neverland, the property, the filthy home that he designed so that he could molest children in privacy with all the security around his bedroom that was filled with pornography and filthy statues that he had kids spend the night there, and where they admitted that they were in bed together, they're in the bathrooms together. So it turns out that Neverland has been for sale. The value of it plummeted after the first half of the documentary aired, dropped by 30. I think it went from $100 million asking price to $70 million, and now it appears that they're going to demolish the place. Probably worth a lot more, just the land, than that creepy facility and all the memories that it would bring. And so Corey Feldman, if you know him, childhood actor, and he was a childhood friend of Michael Jackson. And note, with Michael Jackson, that doesn't have its normal connotation. Childhood friend of Michael Jackson means something a bit different than it means normally. Well, Corey Feldman has always defended Michael Jackson from child molestation accusations, and he never realized the significance of not being his type. Right? Michael Jackson, when he looked at Corey Feldman, for whatever reason, human beings are multifaceted. For whatever reason, Corey Feldman was not his type. And so Feldman didn't realize the significance of that. And he thought that, based on his claim, Michael Jackson never attempted to molest him. And therefore, he assumed that these other people are lying. And that's the thing, you know, the don't judge people, they're really in a mess. Because when someone says, Michael Jackson molested me repeatedly when I was a young child, then what do the don't judge people do? Who do they condemn? Do they condemn Michael Jackson? Or do they condemn the accuser and say he's basically committing perjury and violating the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor? So there is no such refuge. In the real world, the don't judge absurdity is a fiction. And on our website, kgov.com/judge, what a great article, Should Christians Judge? It does pretty well in the Google rankings. There's a meme at the very top of the article, Should Christians Judge? And the meme is a screenshot from a cell phone app, a Bible app. In fact, it's my Bible app. And I pulled up Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says, judge not. And then everything else on the screen is crossed out. You can't read. Others have done this too. You can't read anything else. It's all crossed out. You can only read the judge not. And so then the text, of course, explains that there Jesus is commanding us to judge with righteous judgment. And if you're committing the same sin, then don't judge. So if you're a child molester, you're a hypocrite for criticizing another child molester. God says, first, stop committing that sin, and then you could see clearly enough to judge your neighbor who's committing that sin. Rather straightforward, although it has bewildered a significant percentage of Christian teachers. Not sure why, but it has. So Corey Feldman saw the first half of the documentary, and he launched into the, you know, I'm just not Michael Jackson's type. Oh, no, that's not how he said it. That Michael Jackson would never do this kind of thing because how wonderful he was to me. So he's calling these men liars. But then he saw part two of the documentary, and he stated that he can no longer defend Michael Jackson. So, hey, truth wins out. Truth wins out. Ironically, that's the name of a pro-homo organization, and I debated the president of Truth Wins Out. His name is Wayne Besson, and that's at our page, kgov.com/homosexuals. And what a page that is. It's a tour de force laying out the case, not only the biblical evidence, but the moral evidence, the insanity of a world that thinks it's acceptable for men to be romantic with one another. Just, you know, God gave us this gag reflex so that a kid won't go down in the gutter and eat some squirrel meat that's putrefying there. You know, the gag reflex. In fact, it's the same reflex that men get when they see homosexual affection. And we've been saying that for decades on the show, almost three decades now. And it was actually published in the journal Psychology and Sexuality. They reported from a study funded by a pro-homosexual organization that straight men, and they didn't ask the men, they didn't ask them, what are your feelings when you see a photograph? I tell you, if I was in the study, I would have just thrown up. But they didn't ask them, what are your feelings when you see a photograph of a homosexual being affectionate? They measured their enzymes in their body. Now, that's pretty cool, right? That's more objective to measure their enzymes, because you produce certain kinds of enzymes when you're disgusted. And they found out that the typical man, a normal man, a typical heterosexual man, if he sees homosexual affection, he has the same level of disgust as when he sees a bucket of maggots. Bucket of maggots. So I had that classic call years ago. The guy called in and said, Bob, I love your show, but really, you shouldn't have said that homosexuals are worse than gutter slime. I mean, who would have thought we'd have a journal paper in 2017 in the journal Psychology and Sexuality that would confirm even that on Bob and Yurt Live? But he said, Bob, you shouldn't say that homosexuals are worse than gutter slime. So I said, well, Jim, let me ask you a question. What would you rather have on you, a homosexual or gutter slime? It was silence for a long time. And he says, I see your point. So the gag reflex, it's utterly disgusting. And that's something that all these critics, rightfully, they're critics of the child molesters, something that they don't realize that their affirmation of homosexuality increases this kind of behavior. And what a webpage we have on pedophiles at kgov.com/pedophiles. We don't only have a list of pedophiles, tragically, that's real easy to get. These are pedophiles who are celebrated by the left. These are pedophiles who are celebrated by liberals. And in fact, we even embed a TED Talk, you know, those fancy short videos on 1,000 different topics. And at the University of Würzburg in 2018, there was a TED Talk arguing, and this was the point of the entire talk, in fact, the title, that pedophilia is a natural sexual orientation. And they argued, oh, of course you shouldn't hurt children, but we need to accept pedophilia as natural. It's what evolution gave us. Isn't that wonderful? And so, of course, the pedophiles, they want to have animated pornography with children. They want to have robotic children for their perversion. And, of course, that only increases their perverse lust for children, and it broadens that perversion. It brings it to more and more people. So TED Talk, they once this went up, there was such a backlash, they removed it, disowned it, but it has been mirrored by other channels on YouTube so that they can't sweep this under the carpet. How despicable that this TED Talk, sponsored by the TED Talk organization, how they would have a pro-pedophile presentation. How utterly disgusting. And that's just one example at kgov.com/pedophiles, including Amazon and Jeff Bezos, by the way, for the book that they have sold now for two decades, even against protest, published by Allison Press, titled Pedophilia, the Radical Case, a 300-page book. We have it on our pedophiles page. We have the screenshot from Amazon. You click on it, you go right to the book. It's for sale on Amazon right now. 300 pages explaining why it should be legal and how you go about being a pedophile and having sex with children. Utterly disgusting. Utterly, utterly disgusting. And if you don't believe my assessment of the book, you could just look at it. You could just look at the book. You could just look at the reviews by liberals who say, hey, we're all for free speech, but this really goes too far, doesn't it? So disgusting. And it's published by that wonderful, cute little homosexual publisher in Boston who makes those wonderful books for kiddies. You know, Heather Has Two Mommies and Daddy's Roommate, those textbooks used by leftists in our government schools in kindergarten to teach kids how wonderful it is to be a homosexual. So Allison Press, that publishes the kiddie books, also publishes Pedophilia, the Radical Case. How's that? So has anything we've said about all this in 28 years on the air, has anything we've said about all this been falsified? Has anything been shown to be not true? The filth and the perversion, and the more obvious and the more wicked, the more the church is acquiescing. And the more our pastors have been intimidated into silence, and the more our Sunday school teachers are becoming basically supportive, because, you know, it's all about love. It's all about love. Just the way Michael Jackson loved these kids, it's all about love. The Beatles said all you need is love, and then they broke up. Right? And it's love that's sending people to hell, the masses. Because they say, well, you know, God is a God of love, and he wouldn't judge, and he forgives everyone. It's what we even hear from our churches, even from the pulpit. So we know there's nothing to worry about. There's really nothing. In our superfluous list of Christian leaders and groups going gay, wow, it's getting really, really superfluous. It couldn't be more superfluous. For any public school teachers tuning in right now, you could look up the definition of superfluous, and you'll figure out why we call it our superfluous list of Christian leaders going gay. By going gay, we mean tolerating, promoting, supporting homosexuality. Okay, so the gal in England who's 44 years old, Carolyn Farrow, she was being interviewed with a transgender activist whose son became a woman and actually had an operation at the age of 16. Wow. They're having kids, they're giving kids hormone treatments when they're really young, 7, 8, 9 years old. That's child abuse. And this is such a freak phenomenon, right? The percentage of people who have this gender dysphoria, who they're a male, they have an X and a Y chromosome, and they think they're a female. The percentage of that has gone up something like 5,000% in the last, you know, couple decades, something like that. And so this woman was being interviewed, and she said, no, you can't change your gender. You have 2X chromosomes. You're a woman, a girl, a woman. You have an X and a Y chromosome. You're a boy or a man, and you can't change that. You could lie to yourself. You could lie to others. I was debating some guy in an FM radio station in Denver. This is years ago, 20 years ago. Our friends Art and Alice came on a Saturday morning into the radio station studio, and I was there, and this guy who's dressed like a woman says, well, look at my driver's license. They reissued my driver's license. Look what it says, female. I said, it's another clerical error. What do you want? I mean, you're going to believe the government? You're going to believe the government? This is a clerical error. You are a guy. And so it happened to have a big gulp. I've told this story on air, but this guy had a big gulp in the studio, and he spilled it. It went all over the studio table, this big lake of Diet Coke or whatever. And so in a panic, it takes its purse, big old purse, opens it up, puts it under the corner of the table, and starts to scoop the pop into its purse. Pop and purse, scoop the pop into the purse, pop and purse. So I say to this thing, I say, you're a guy. No woman in the world would scoop pop into her purse. A guy would do that. You're a guy. It doesn't matter how they mutilated your body. It doesn't matter how many clerical errors. You were born a guy. You are a guy. When you stand before God on Judgment Day, it's going to be as a guy. So this poor gal, Carolyn Farrow, 44 years old, she tells this activist, look, your son is still your son. He's not your daughter. He's your son. He's still a he. And then after the interview, they went on Twitter and they were tweeting at each other. And Carolyn tweeted that this guy is a guy. It's a he. It's her son. Well, the police in Surrey, in England, we were over there, my producer and I, we were in Surrey. The police there in Surrey, they have been investigating, and now they're ready to tape an interview under caution. So what does that mean, an interview under caution? In other words, they're recommending that you're careful about what you say because this is a serious charge they're investigating. So this is a voluntary interview, but Caroline Farrow has said that she could be arrested if she doesn't agree to attend. And a spokesman for the Surrey Police say they've been carrying out a thorough investigation to establish whether any criminal offenses have taken place. Boy, it's all out in public. Don't they know? Wouldn't that take about 3 minutes? The incompetence of the left. So this gal, she really is courageous. She said, I haven't gone back and looked up my tweets, but I'm sure I did say something like he or your son. And I haven't done anything wrong because you can't change your gender. And then she said something that really encouraged me. She said, look, I will happily go to jail for my right to say that people cannot change their sex. Isn't that awesome? This 44-year-old gal has more guts than the vast majority of Christian leaders in America. I admire her. There have been leaders like, have you heard of Bill Gothard, Institute and Basic Life Principles, who have argued that it's wrong for a Christian to do something that would get them arrested and put in jail. And that's so weird. I recall back in the 80s and 90s debating this with various supporters and pointing out that for the most part, if you did a who's who of people in the Bible, the good guys oftentimes were arrested, went to jail, even put to death, often by the governing authorities. For example, in the Hall of Faith in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, wow, a third of the heroes of faith listed in that Hebrews Hall of Faith, that one chapter, about a third of them are people who were arrested by the governing officials. Arrested, tried, put to death, punished, flogged, and so on. And Jesus, too, by the way. So, pretty neat. This gal, Carolyn Farrow. Courage, good for her. And it's going to be tough. You know, we've been talking on the air here for 28 years, going on three decades, and warning people where everything is headed, including, like, Focus on the Family and our largest Christian national ministries, and letting them know where things are headed because of them caving in to the homosexual agenda in so many ways, including arguing, as James Dobson did, equal rights for homosexuals. Equal rights for homosexuals. That was one of their slogans back in the 90s for Amendment 2. We have long memories here at Bubba Neert Live. All right, so then we have the pot paper in The Lancet. So over in England, their counterpart to our New England Journal of Medicine is The Lancet. This paper was just published in The Lancet, and they found that if somebody smokes pot daily, and it's the kind of pot that they sell today, which is very potent. If they smoke pot daily, they are nearly five times more likely to develop psychosis, serious mental illness. They looked at pot smokers from across Europe and in South America from the years 2010 to 2015. So that was a good period of time when the pot was becoming especially strong. And they found 900 people diagnosed with a first episode of a serious disorder at a mental health clinic, including delusions and hallucinations, and they compared them with 1,200 healthy patients. Five times more likely. So we need to add that to our list of the negative effects of marijuana for 2019. And what a page that is. KGov.com/pot. I don't know if churches are sufficiently warning their congregation and the kids in their churches, their public school kids, which they shouldn't have any of those, but a lot of church pastors do, sadly. But warning the parents about their kids and the grandkids and the parents themselves. Because the law is the great teacher, and once Colorado and many other states decriminalize marijuana, you've got millions of Christians thinking it's okay. It's just like having a glass of wine, except that it's not. So they did say in the journal Lancet, they said that they haven't definitively pinpointed marijuana as the cause of this. And there's a reason for that. It's because some of the researchers are potheads. That's the only conceivable reason after study after study after study showing that when you smoke pot, you have a significant increased chance of being seriously mentally ill, aside from just being a pothead loser and all that. Seriously mentally ill, and they'll hold out. It's like the people saying, well, we don't really know if smoking tobacco increases your risk of lung cancer. We're not really quite, you know, we can't really prove it. What did they call cigarettes hundreds of years ago? Coffin nails? Coffin nails. Smoke cigarettes? You might as well nail the coffin lid shut with your cigarettes. So finally, the asteroid Bennu, B-E-N-N-U, we have a spacecraft now that's orbiting Bennu. And it's called OSIRIS-REx. This is so exciting. All scientists work for Walt Brown. This is another WWB discovery. They had studied it from afar, and they said based on its thermal signature, it'll have fine-grained sand and little tiny pebbles on its surface, and that's it. So it'll be easy to land on it. But we know how asteroids were formed. We know how that happened. It was a result of the global flood and the debris coming up from 60 miles below the Earth's surface and all the rocks of the crust of the Earth breaking off and being shot at escape velocity into the solar system. And so that's why they're finding out, like with Comet 67P, it's made up of millions of rounded boulders. So they said to their shock, while they thought that this thing would be nice and soft sand and little tiny pebbles, it's loaded with hundreds of boulders. Hundreds of large boulders, so many that they're not sure how they're going to land the craft on the asteroid. Isn't that something? And since they've been close up to it, they've noticed it's been outgassing approximately twice a week. So how's that? So this thing is supposed to be 4 billion years old. They claimed that for years, this Bennu, that it formed in the first 30 million years of the solar system. So that makes it over 4 billion years old, and it's still geologically active. Isn't that funny? That's like dinosaur soft tissue. And other soft tissue and fossils and biological material, it's supposed to be 1 billion years old, 2 billion, 2.5 billion. The Earth is young.